Happy Sabbath, church family. It is sure good to be here worshiping with you this Sabbath. In the Bible, Jesus had two disciples that stood out a little bit from the rest because their mom made a special request of Jesus. And she came up to Jesus, and she said, "Lord, I have a special request." And she even kneels down, the scripture says. Kneels down and says, "Lord, in your kingdom, would it be okay if my two sons sat on your right side and on your left side in your kingdom?" Unusual request, right? And Jesus pretty much tells her, you don't really understand what you're asking. And this really isn't up to me. This is up to the Father. And then a little bit later on down, it says that the other 10 disciples heard about this. And how do you think their reaction compared to the moms and to Jesus and everything? You think they were happy about this sort of arrangement? Wait a second. They get to sit on the right hand. They're asking to sit on the right hand and left hand of Jesus? Who do they think they are? And because they wanted to be first, Jesus explained a couple lessons to them. Throughout Scripture, Jesus emphasizes that we should be servants, right? That we shouldn't try to be first all the time. In fact, he says, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And he talks about humility. In the youth Sabbath school class this morning, I got to jump in there for a little while, and we talked about humility. Over and over and over, Jesus talks about the benefits of being humble. Now, we might say it's not natural for us to want to be humble because we're kind of geared to try and succeed and be first and things. Which isn't wrong in all sorts, but when it comes at the expense of others, I think it can be. And so Jesus talks repeatedly in Scripture about the value of humility. What happens if we aren't humble? I think one of the verses we read in Sabbath school this morning talked about being full of ourselves instead of full of Jesus and humility. And therein lies all kinds of doors to different things that lead us to focus on self as opposed to other people. In the Bible, in John chapter 13, turn with me in your Bibles. John chapter 13. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from his world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself." There's a side note in my Bible from the Desire of Ages, and it says this: "This action opened the eyes of the disciples. Bitter shame and humiliation filled their hearts. They understood the unspoken rebuke and saw themselves in an altogether new light. So Christ expressed his love for his disciples. Their selfish spirit filled him with sorrow, but he entered into no controversy with them regarding their difficulty. Instead, he gave them an example that they would never forget." What an awesome way to handle this, right? Here they are sitting around the table. It's customary that somebody should wash somebody's feet. But nobody wants to take the servant role and wash those feet. Feet are not the most appealing of things. Feet have 250,000 sweat glands. Did you know that? A human foot and ankle is strong. There's a list of things. I've got a list of fun facts about feet. A human foot and ankle is strong. It's a mechanical structure and contains 26 bones, 33 joints, and more than 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments. During an average day of walking, total forces on your feet can total hundreds of tons, equivalent to an average of a fully loaded cement truck. 75% of Americans will experience foot problems in their life. The average person will walk around 115,000 miles in a lifetime, taking about 8,000 to 10,000 steps each day. Here's a shocker. Women have four times more foot problems than men. It's because of those crazy shoes you wear. But feet are not the most appealing things in the world, are they? And here, none of the disciples are jumping up to get in line to go around and wash everybody's feet. And so here's Jesus, their leader, the Messiah. They all believe that. And Jesus starts to prepare himself to wash their feet. Verse 5, after that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had girded. And he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? Some other verses say, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, what I am doing to you, you do not understand now, but you will after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head too. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, verse 12, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. What's with washing feet? It's the lowest thing on our bodies. One of the least appealing things. And yet Jesus went one by one and individually washed the feet of his disciples. He was in the role of a servant, a role that none of them even wanted to be in. But see, Jesus is teaching us a lesson here. When it comes to service, we need to be thinking about people more than ourselves. You see, all those disciples were thinking, I'm too good for this job. Somebody else should be doing this menial work. This is not what I was called to do in ministry, to wash people's feet. No, I'm above that. And here Jesus totally turns this around. I love what it says in Desire of Ages, how Jesus handled this. When he acted, they saw themselves in a whole new light. They realized what they needed to be and what they needed to do in life. It helped them become a little more humble. It helped them become a little bit more like Jesus. And Jesus goes on and says, hey, I want you to do this regularly. I've given you an example that you can also do so that maybe we don't get too full of ourselves and think too highly of ourselves and forget to be a servant like Jesus. The foot washing is a great reminder that we need to be servants and be like Jesus. And so from time to time, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we give everybody an opportunity to be a part of this reminder that Jesus asked us to continue to do throughout time. A reminder to be servants. A reminder in humility. I think, and you've probably heard me say this in a sermon before, one of the greatest attributes of Jesus that we can learn from is his humility. Because that's what made him such a great servant. There was no disease that he was too afraid to go and heal or to touch somebody. When people were saying, oh, you can't touch that person, he was right there to give them a caress, to touch them when nobody else would, because he didn't care. And so, Jesus asked us to do this from time to time as a reminder to stay servants, to never be afraid to jump in and do whatever kind of work, to never think that we're better than anybody or more important for any job. Jesus asked us to do what he did for his disciples. I've given you an example, he said, that you should do as I have done. So today, you have the opportunity to partake in this. This is totally voluntary. If you would prefer to stay in here, we'll have some music playing. But we want to give everybody an opportunity to be able to participate in this. And so we're going to dismiss here in just a moment. We have three separate areas where you can participate in this. We have in the main fellowship hall an area for couples who would like to do this together. In the right-hand side of the fellowship hall in a cordoned-off area, we have an area for men who would like to go in, a men's section. And down at the end of the hall, down here on the back left, we have another one for the ladies to be able to participate down there as well. So as you go, if you choose to participate, be thinking about the example that Jesus set for us in humility and being a servant. When you return, I'm going to ask that you please sit every other row so that our deacons can serve you as we partake in communion when we come back. But I invite you to take this opportunity to follow the example of Jesus. There will be people in the different areas. If you need a partner to work with, there will be some people there that can do this with you. But think about what this means and why Jesus would ask us to do this. And may this be a reminder of how important humility is in the walk of a Christian. You're dismissed, and we'll see you back here as soon as you're done for communion. Jesus was with his disciples, and in Luke chapter 22, verse 14, it said, "The hour had come, and he sat down, and the 12 apostles were with him. And he said, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" Jesus was spending some good last moments with his disciples. And Jesus wanted them to go on through the rest of their lives remembering what it was he was about to do for them. He wanted Christians from now until the second coming to remember what it was that Jesus did for them. And so he set up something that we could remember this by with some very specific symbols that would represent certain things. He used bread to represent his body. He used grape juice to represent his blood that was spilled for our sins, so that when we would partake in communion, we would be reminded, first of all, of just how much Jesus loves you. Because what happens right after here is very, very intense. What Jesus went through is amazing, and it shows just how much he loves you. But it also shows some of the processes of how we are forgiven from our sins. And it's a reminder to us that we don't have to hold on to those sins forever, that Jesus can and does forgive our sins. And amen for that. And so he asks us to do this And he says, in remembrance. There's a couple places in the Bible where he says to remember to do things. One of them is to remember to worship on a specific day. What day is that?
Sabbath.
Sabbath, today. This is another instance where he says, I want you to do this to remember something. And so this is why we do this in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. To remember and spend a few moments being thankful to Jesus for his sacrifice, for dying on the cross for our sins, for forgiving us for our sins. And so the first thing that we will be partaking of is the bread. And I'm going to have one of our elders, Rick Rosica, pray for our bread before we partake.
Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we cannot imagine that you have given yourselves to be broken for us the way you were. We cannot imagine the sacrifice that you made to cleanse us from all of our sins. We thank you, Father, for doing that for us. We remember constantly how you have died, how your body was broken for us. And we praise you, Father, and thank you that you were willing to make a sacrifice that we ourselves need to be willing to make for our fellow man. Help us, Father, to be as humble and as giving and as willing to sacrifice on behalf of others as you were for us. These things we ask and pray in the most precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Imagine what it must have been like in that room with Jesus and his disciples and Jesus knowing what was going to be going on soon. And what a special time with he and those apostles. And I think we can have just as special of a time today as we stop and realize the importance of what we're about to do, the importance of what Jesus was about to go through for every single person in this church today. So as we partake of this, take a few moments to just have some quiet time with God, to remember what he did for you, to say thanks, and be appreciative of the love that he showed for each and every one of us on the cross. As they were around in that room, in verse 19 of chapter 22 in Luke, it says, and he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The next thing Jesus used as a symbol was grape juice to represent his blood that was spilled on Calvary, which means a whole lot to us as Christians because that means Jesus died in our place. He sacrificed himself for us. And what an incredible thing to do for somebody greater. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than he give up his life for a friend. If anything, we remember today that we are loved. We are so loved by someone who took our place. And so before we partake of the grape juice, I'm going to have one of our elders, Terry Anderson, pray for us before we do that.
Let us bow our heads. Lord, we know without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. And for that, we're thankful. If ever there's a day to celebrate righteousness by faith, it's today. And for this, we're thankful. Lord, we long for that day to celebrate in heaven with you. And to understand the plan of salvation, because it will take all of eternity. So thank you, Lord, for the humble thanks that we can give as humans on this earth for the gift that you gave for us so that we may be saved. We pray, Jesus, and thank you in your name. Amen.
We have Christians, as Christians, have so much to be thankful for today. And as we think about these things and how grateful we are, imagine the smile on the face of Jesus as he sees the people he died for, remembering and being grateful for the things that he did for them. So I think there are smiles in heaven today as we celebrate communion and remember how much we have to be thankful for. Jesus, in the room with his apostles, after they had finished, says in, I'm in Matthew now, chapter 26, verse 27. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I think there's something very special about following through with a request from Jesus to do something. And in verse 30, at the end of this section in my Bible that says the Lord's Supper, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And oftentimes, I've pictured this scenario in my mind of what it was like when they were having communion. But I think more often I've wondered what it must have been like to sit next to Jesus while he's singing a hymn. How awesome would that have been? I wonder if there was any harmony that went along with these praises. But what must it be like to sing a hymn with Jesus? That always blows my mind a little bit when I read through that. But as we follow through with Jesus' request to remember and to do these things, I think it's also special to finish our communion the same way that the apostles did, by singing a song. And so the song we're going to be closing with is a song full of hope. It's a song that reminds us about what our ultimate destination is, and that is heaven. And what an awesome time that's going to be able to sing praises right in the presence of our Savior. To be able to look at him and say thank you in the best possible way that we can for everything that he's done for us. And so as we close, let's do just like the apostles did and close with a hymn and sing praises to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Let's remember to be thankful more than just on communion Sabbath. This is something we have to be continually thankful for. And the first verse said, be thankful for his grace. And that's one of the things we're thankful for and focus on today in communion. God's ability to forgive us and to take our place so that we can each accept his grace that he offers to us. Let that be something that we are thankful for daily and extra thankful for on communion Sabbath. As you go out this week, spend some extra time in prayer with Jesus this week. Spend some extra time being thankful for our chance to be forgiven so that we can all be in heaven someday. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be when we all see Jesus. Wow, what a day that's going to be. Until that day, let us remain true and faithful, as the song says. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you so much for everything you did for us on Calvary. Thank you for giving us this reminder of just how important that is. Lord, help us to always be thankful. Help us to always have our eyes on you and the hope that we have in you. Until that day when you come bursting through the clouds to come take us home, keep us faithful, Lord, and keep us thankful. In Jesus' name we pray.